entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up, it's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. Because you know I got a lot of that stuff.
You do.
And with us on the boards today, we have the fabulous Ed. How are you today, Ed?
And a happy Saturday to you guys.
We're good to be here. And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon. Nice to be here.
It's great to be here. You want you to go through this
closer. That
this
way?
Mic. There you go.
Now you can hear me. I could sing God Save the Queen. I was singing God Save the Queen all morning because I was watching the funeral. I'm from Canada, and we used to sing it in school.
Yeah, that was something else this morning.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the Queen.
Yeah.
It's tough. And what were you saying? When did she meet him?
She met him for the first time when she was 13, and she said to her father, "I will never love anybody else." And then they got married. I think she was 21. And they were on vacation. I didn't know this. And she was in, like, an Africa, and she was married at the time. And she was up in the treehouse, and when she came down, he told her father had died. That's why she's been queen for how many years now? Like 70 years almost.
God bless. God bless.
I wouldn't want that job.
No, I wouldn't want any of those kind of jobs.
The money, yes.
Yes.
Wouldn't be bad.
And with us today, we have Salisa Bonner from Madonna PTAC Center for Alzheimer's. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So glad you're here today. We're going to be talking on the second half of the show. We have some new listeners this week. We have Diana from Countryside. You know, people are starting to say to me now, "When are you going to say my name?"
Oh.
It reminds me of like Romper Room. I always wanted her to say my name. And Karen from Ohio and Mike from St. Pete.
Oh, welcome.
So, like I say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners, whether you listen live when we're on AM/FM or on YouTube or Facebook or where, you know, wherever they'll take us.
Well, if you stop saying where they were from, you could pretend that, you know, if you said Karen, it's every Karen.
Oh, no. I don't know. Because sometimes you get a whole bunch of Marys from, like, different places. Or, like, Linda's. Okay, so you and I, so I go to Curves. Curves is, you know, it's the old lady exercise place, whatever. So there's probably, like, 12 staple ones, you know, we're there every morning. And there's, like, six of us are Linda. Because we're all, like, around the same age. You don't see any little Lindas now.
Oh, also, I'd like to say, anybody who's watching on YouTube or Facebook, we now have a blonde host.
Yes. Changed my hair color this week. My daughter said, "You needed to change it up, Mom."
They probably didn't recognize you till you opened your mouth.
Yes.
And well, then they knew.
Last night when I went to that chamber ribbon cutting thing.
Yes.
So I'm standing talking to a woman I never met before. She came up and we're just chatting. And all of a sudden I hear somebody comes up behind me and she goes, "Linda Burhans, is that you?" And I turn around and she goes, "I didn't know that hair, but I knew that voice."
As there
you
go.
Opened your mouth. I'm like, okay.
Can't miss that. The Boston and New Yorkers. They're pick you out anywhere.
So in a minute or two, we have Dr. Okay, say it for me.
Well, I have to see it. Actually, we should
Ajay Kumar.
Ajay Kumar.
He has a book called Excellence Has No Borders. And he'll be calling in. So he is the chairman and CEO of Healthcare Global Enterprises. And he realized his vision was making advanced care possible, accessible to all. He has been driving the force behind HCG since its inception. He has served as a CEO since 2005. His contribution to the field of cancer care in India, as well as his successes as a first-generation physician entrepreneur, have been widely recognized. And I'm going to let him tell you a little bit more. So do we have Doctor on the phone?
Yeah, hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Joyful and grateful and very glad that you're with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Doctor, how have the effects of COVID on your cancer centers impacted both your patients and the business itself?
Well, you know, in India, we are having a second wave. And because of that, it has impacted to some extent. First wave was more. The second wave, people have got adjusted, and because cancer is such a serious disease, as of now, we are not seeing any major impact. Maybe, you know, 5 to 10% less in footfall. But we don't know how it is going to play out in the next few weeks because the numbers are increasing rapidly. So we have to wait and see for the next few weeks. But vaccination is going on in a big way. Nearly 100 million people have been vaccinated.
Wow.
So we hope with this vaccination, the severity at least will be less. That is what we are hoping.
Yeah, which is what we're all hoping. This has been a difficult time for everybody, and the more vaccinations I hear, just people are, they're breathing a little bit easier. They're not as fearful as they've been. Because I don't want to live in fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's hard enough, you know, it's hard enough for people that are healthy. The people that have cancer and have to be going through this, it's got to be very difficult. So
it's very, very difficult because they're more prone, they're more immunosuppressed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So because of that, they can get COVID easily. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you ever suggest that some of them not take the vaccine?
Which one?
Have you ever suggested that certain patients do not take the vaccine?
No. We feel it is very important for them to take the vaccine.
Okay. Because I've heard some people say, people that have certain illnesses, that they've been told not to take the vaccine.
No. In oncology, it is a must. They should take.
Okay.
Actually, they should take both the doses. We are very much for it.
Yeah, so I'm hope my listeners hear that loud and clear. So how have you worked to expand cancer treatment centers with patient support measures in the U.S.?
No, in the U.S., while I was practicing, you know, the things are very different compared to India. When I finished my training in MD Anderson, started my practice, you know, west of Chicago in the late 70s, it was starting from scratch, but it was a challenge. But, you know, the most of the focus on providing quality of care to the patient.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody was covered with insurance, so that was not an issue, you know. So that was kind of makes it easy. You should have the good knowledge and treat cancer patients the right way, the technology, but what was available and how cancer treatment has changed significantly over the few decades. But when I came to India and started looking at doing this hub and spoke model across India, the challenge was, you know, making it accessible, affordable, because majority of the people pay out of pocket.
Right.
And that was the challenge for us. And still, you know, we call it as value-based medicine. In fact, we are being written up, you know, right, I've written in the book, The Excellence Has No Border. We have been written up by Harvard Business School several times as a case study to show how you can bridge the gap and actually do at a lower cost and get the same outcome.
Yeah.
That has been our focus. And that is how, you know, when I came to U.S., you know, from India, I knew excellence has no borders because, you know, the patients don't mind where you are from. It is what kind of quality of care you can give.
Yeah.
That is how, you know, I had patients coming from over 100-mile radius. So similarly, when I moved to India, it doesn't matter rich or poor, the cancer knows only one treatment, right treatment. You know,
It's
very unforgiving. How do you bridge the gap? How do you bring technology? That is what we achieved successfully across 25 centers in India and Africa. My focus has been on emerging markets.
Yeah, I tell you, I love your book, and I have your book. I'm holding it up right now for the people that can see on Facebook or on YouTube. There's a lot of really good information in there, and I'm so happy you've been with us today. So what is the last thing you think our caregivers need to hear from you?
I think the most important thing is you should not fear cancer. And obviously, you know, earlier you detect, better it is. But the cancer today requires a deep knowledge. One person cannot give an opinion. It has to be multidisciplinary clinic.
Yes.
So we have to use expertise in all subspecialties of cancer to give an opinion. And, you know, for us, the experience I've had in U.S. and India and my training has clearly shown, you know, we have not gone into the depth of cancer still. We are beginning to understand, but the newer therapies, the newer form, certainly cancer is more of a chronic disease, lifestyle disease.
Right.
So I think the important message is that, of course, prevention, non-smoking, and all those environmental issues are very important. But if you do get cancer, going to the right place, getting the right treatment with multidisciplinary clinic, so that first-time right treatment is the key.
So, Doctor, where can our listeners find you?
I think it is cgoncology.com.
Okay, and I'll put all that information, and your book is available on Amazon, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it, Doc.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Have a delicious day.
Thank you.
Bye.
You have a good day. Bye.
So I think that's very interesting because we, like, you know, he's talking about the interdisciplinary, which I think is so important, and I think that is with everything. And I with cancer, I think we're so blessed in the things that have happened, the things that have changed, the treatments that they have, because when we're dealing with a lot of people that have Alzheimer's and dementia, that's, we haven't come to those crossroads as much. We haven't come to that place. But I think the same thing, which is really important, and I want to say to my listeners, is many times people go to the doctor and they say, oh, mom has dementia, so here's some medicine and come back in a couple months. End of conversation. So just like if you had cancer, when you go to the doctor, you need to find out what kind. So if you go into the doctor and you say, they say you have cancer, you're going to say, where is the cancer? How long have I had it? How much has it spread? What are my different options? You need to do the same thing, because you meet one person with dementia, you met one person with dementia, right? Mm-hmm. So while we have a little bit extra time here, which I didn't, Salisa, address that a little bit about finding out why it's important that you find out what kind of dementia a person has.
It's important to find out what kind of dementia you have, because that's how you'll understand the process of the treatment plan. Lewy body dementia cannot be treated the same with medications, just like Alzheimer's disease or vascular dementia. Maybe vascular dementia may not respond to medications that that are treated for Alzheimer's disease. So it's very important to find out. Also good for genetics, for your family, for your grandchildren to know what the family history is.
And plus the behaviors are different.
Oh, most definitely.
Okay, some behaviors are exactly the same, and then some are totally different. So if you don't know, you know, I had people come in the support groups over the years that really never had a proper diagnosis. And as we're talking in the support group, they go, oh, I guess my husband must have Lewy bodies.
Right.
Because three women are saying that their husbands have been diagnosed and they're exhibiting the same behaviors and everything. So it's been very interesting with that. So tell us, what do you do exactly where you're at?
So I liked what that other, the oncologist says, it's a multidisciplinary evaluation. So that's really good to have a team approach. That's what memory disorder clinics, how they were set up in the state. They started in like the 1980s with the state set up four memory disorder clinics in university hospital settings. And then since now we have about 17 different memory disorder clinics all across the state that are part of the Alzheimer's Disease Initiative, which is the governor's program, and then the Department of Elder Affairs oversees us, so we do get the state funding. And so basically for a memory disorder clinic, you have to have a neurologist as your medical director, a geriatric psychiatrist, or a geriatrician. So one of those are your medical director, and what we do is in statute. So every 17 memory disorder clinic in the state, we do the same type of assessment. Also part of your team, you can have nurses, nurse practitioners, but you do have neuropsychologists as well, which is a psychologist, PhD, that specializes in brain health. Yeah. And then you have social workers as well. So we're looking at the whole person as well as the whole caregiver, the whole family. When you go just to a regular neurology office, they're just focused on the patient. But we're looking at the whole setting, the whole family, the whole caregiver, because everyone is going to be going through that person living with dementia,
exactly,
that journey.
And so it's for the health of the whole family.
The whole family.
Because if we can't keep the caregivers healthy, and if we can't keep the families educated, how can we really help them?
Exactly. The caregivers have to learn how to take care of themselves. They got to know what kind of dementia it is. We need to show them the resources, tell them about the resources, provide education, because we don't want them to be a statistic where they're going to predecease their loved one.
And we don't want them to feel alone.
Right.
Do they have x-rays of the brain that tells you?
So, yes. So, usually an MRI is what insurance wants you to have first.
Okay.
But a PET scan, and an MRI is good, but a PET scan, actually, you have an injection of glucose, and that follows the uptake of the glucose of the brain. And so that's going to be a colored picture to see actually what the disease process looks like in the, or the disease looks like in the brain. So with
they
a PET,
can tell by that which one you have.
Most definitely.
Wow.
But you also have to listen what the signs and symptoms are of the caregiver, the family, what they're witnessing every day. Because sometimes people's brain looks normal under a scan, but they have all these bizarre behaviors. So you have to look at the whole body.
Because I know years ago they used to say they couldn't tell if you had Alzheimer's till you died and they did an autopsy, but now they can tell.
Right.
So that's wonderful.
Yeah, so we have probably good 95, 96% true diagnosis before death. Of course, autopsy is going to be 100% if you go through the brain.
Yeah, 96% is not a bad number.
It's wonderful.
We have a lot of good diagnostic tests to evaluate that.
Wow, that's wonderful, isn't it? And because it's good to know, because then you can look out for what's happening. Because when that happened to my husband, I just thought, forgetful, this or that. Never knew.
Yeah, we didn't know what we know now.
And it's not normal
doing it at the time.
Yeah. And to see a visual. I mean, you can see something on a scan that says, well, look, there's some deterioration here or something. I think it's different because it's such a psychological disease. That sometimes people in the family, have you ever heard people, he's just kidding me. You know, or he's faking it.
Right. Faking.
There's no faking it. No. You need a whole brain to fake.
But some diseases, some dementias look like that. They're wax and wane with cognition. That could be vascular dementia. That could also be Lewy body. And so good days and bad days are thinking, well, there's nothing really wrong with them. They're just manipulating me.
Right.
But that's where you have to get a comprehensive diagnosis.
For years. But your husband, he said to Jack, thought Jack was kidding.
Yeah, my husband kidding. Thought her husband was kidding when he had Alzheimer's. In the beginning.
He's just kidding.
Yeah, he's just kidding us.
Because he'd say, I don't know.
Because he was a kidder, too. He was a kidder, though, too.
Exactly.
When you're a person who does that kind of thing, it's harder to understand.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
But one thing to mention, too, is memory loss. That's not normal aging. That's a myth.
Right.
Oh, I'm just getting old. Oh, no, memory loss is not part of aging.
Right.
It's not?
It's not part of aging.
Forgetfulness is. But not memory loss.
Right.
So there's a fine line there.
Oh. I don't quite see the difference.
Well, memory loss is a change in the brain. Forgetful, you're going to remember. Oh, yeah.
If you go back, you're going to remember.
You go back, because when you're aging, you have all those files in your filing cabinet. You're like, in your brain, you're like, at 2 a.m., oh, yeah. Well, if you have memory loss, which is one of the parts of a dementia, you're not going to have the oh yeah moment.
Oh, that explains it perfectly.
Yeah, you can't do it.
You can't do it.
And the thing is, you have to realize your brain is at its peak when it's 25. It's the truth. So,
25?
Unless you started earlier with other kind of substance abuse or something. And you're gonna,
but 25,
that's 25, that's when you're at your peak. So it's okay if we forget some stuff now. Because, you get nervous, especially with
anxiety,
the people we work with.
And I find with COVID, there's another layer to that fog.
So there is an international study with about 44 different scientists that are looking at the medical records of people that had COVID and that actually died from COVID to evaluate them with dementia. Because if you've already had Alzheimer's disease and then you have COVID, it's going to exacerbate the disease process. Then you can find out some more information about that study through the Alzheimer's Association website, ALZ.org. But we're seeing in our clinic people in their 40s that had COVID, a real bad case of COVID, that are coming in. They're having that brain fog. And so we're going to be tracking them. We're doing our own research for that. We're tracking them over time to say, okay, now we have their baseline after their COVID. Let's see how they're going to, how their disease is going to progress. How their brain, is going to progress through the rest of their life, to see if that's going to really impair the brain. It's going to be interesting.
Yes, it is.
Over time.
Well, right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, and then we'll come back and chat some more. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents, and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
So I can't say how important this is. This week, I found out that another caregiver passed away before her husband. She's been taking care of her husband for 4 years. Her kids try to help her. She never wanted them to be worried. She never wanted to be a burden. And now her husband is going to go into a community that he's never been exposed to before. Thank God she still has her kids and they're pitching in, but it didn't have to be this way. She hadn't gone to the doctors in 3 years. So please, caregivers, I know you think you're the bomb caregiver and that only you can do it and that you do the best job. You need to take a break. You really need to take a break. And it's not being weak when you reach out for help. It's actually being strong when you reach out for help. Because her children are so devastated by this. And if you're a long-distance caregiver, I know it's been really hard with COVID, but thankfully things are starting to open up now. You need to go and see your loved one, not just talk to them on the phone. And if you can't go there, then you need to call a neighbor of theirs or one of their friends from church or whatever and let them just go and check on them. Because caregivers just, you know, they think they're super people. And you see it all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
they forget about themselves because we take our loved one to the doctor. Everybody's focused on them.
Right.
When they come to the memory clinic, I always ask the caregiver, tell me about you. And they're like, wait, me?
Somebody asked?
Somebody's asking about me.
Right.
Yeah, don't forget you. I tell them, don't lose yourself in this journey.
Right.
You have to stay. You're both going through it together. You both are experiencing it totally different, but you can't forget about you. It's okay to be selfish because you've got to take care of yourself.
And you know what I say to caregivers lots of times, too? I say, this may sound a little bit harsh, but if you don't take care of yourself, you're doing an injustice to your loved one.
Right.
Because you can't do it all. You just can't do it all. And it's not... And you know what? Sometimes you're cutting out some people that want to help. That it's not fair to cut them out either. It's not fair to not give them the opportunity. You know, somebody said that to me after my mother passed away. She said, Linda, I saw you swimming in quicksand and you didn't let me help you. She said, you didn't even give me any time to spend with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we need to do that. And for some people that are listening here, just go out and do something nice for the caregiver.
Right.
Just bring a dinner over and say, I'm gonna hang out and play checkers or watch television with your loved one or whatever. So I gotta tell you something else cool. So yesterday I was talking to some caregivers and we're always talking about finding purpose for your loved one. You know, I'm giving them something to do. This lady has boxes and boxes of envelopes filled with photos and he's sorting them all and making albums, her husband.
That's wonderful.
Be interesting to see those albums when they're finished.
She said, I don't care what they look
right.
Like, they're just sitting in the box, all those photos.
And he wants to do it.
And he likes it because he's like, oh, remember that pickup truck I had? He had a lot of cars. She said there was a lot of car photos and stuff. And she said there was times like he came to her with a certain picture, stuff that she had forgotten about.
Well, that's cool.
So, I thought that's a very good project. I don't know if it works for everybody, but it might work for somebody.
Like my husband wouldn't.
No,
wouldn't
Tom wouldn't do that,
that
either, but
no.
Some people would.
He'd want a blow-up doll or something.
And then another one told me that, so her mom was a banker. So she's got her putting the pennies in the rolls and the nickels and the quarters and the rolls.
That's a really good idea.
So she fills up the rolls all day. And then when she goes, she tells her, I'm going to bring them to the bank tomorrow.
And she empties them.
And then mom goes to sleep and she empties them out. Is that a good one?
Yes, that's really good.
Yeah, so, you know, that's in finding purpose, we have to go back to what the person did before. It's just like this morning I was listening, We Are Dementia Strong, we're on Facebook, Maureen and Brian, and they were interviewing a music therapist. Well, we say play music, it's great, but you got to play the music the person likes.
Mm-hmm.
if you play the playlist the person likes, they can get into it and they're real. But if they like Elvis Presley, they don't want to listen to 35 Elvis Presley songs. Find out, you need to find out what their favorite Elvis Presley songs are or whatever. If they like country, well, they like a certain country person.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It makes a big difference. So we got to take that time to figure that out. And I think when we do that, it makes our journey so much easier too. Because sometimes we just think, oh, we're just going to make it better for them. We're doing it our way.
No, yeah.
No.
But you know how it is when you're driving along and a song will come on, how it just takes you back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can imagine that happening.
Yeah.
They have an aha moment.
Well, Brian says, Brian LeBlanc, who's living with Alzheimer's, he says when he gets in, Maureen can see when he's getting in that fog. And so she'll put the headphones on, his favorite music, and he knows how to breathe now and everything. And he said, and before you know it, he said, sometimes it's 20 minutes, maybe it's a half hour. He's just listening to his music.
And he's all right. I could tell my husband by his eyes.
Right.
They were vacant. He'd be looking at me and he wasn't there. And I'd say, you don't know who I am, do you? And he'd go, I know you.
Yeah.
But no, I
and
don't.
And you're okay.
And I didn't know that. But don't forget, I had aged. He was remembering me as a young, he was 20 years older, so he liked the young babes, and I no longer was.
Well, remember with Lois, your neighbor Lois?
Yes.
Husband, what did her husband say?
He said, that Lois used to be the best dancer. I wonder where she is. And it was their 60th wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm. But she made her feel so good that he said that, though.
Yeah, he said she was a lot of fun, that Lois.
Yeah. Mm. So that was kind of cool.
She's moving.
She's moving, I know. But it's very good for her. She'll be near her family. She's Lynn's neighbor, and her husband just, how long ago did he pass away? It's about a year now?
A little over. It was during, before COVID. Before COVID.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, thank goodness it was before COVID.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people have gone through a really tough time with this since then. All right, so I take Mom to the doctor, and the doctor says Mom has some cognitive impairment. Where do I go from there?
We got to find out what kind of cognitive impairment.
Okay. So
did you go to the right doctor?
No, I don't know.
No, because my doctor didn't know. Right. My husband's doctor said I didn't know to go. So right. What is the name of the doctor we go to? We need to know our husband. Where do we go?
To a neurologist.
Is that where you go?
So the Memory Disorder Clinic does have a neurologist that's a medical director. She is about to retire in July, but we'll have a new medical director. So at Morton Plant, which is our Madonna Patak Center for Alzheimer's Research and Memory Disorders Clinic, you can call us. We can get you set up for the neurologist that's going to evaluate you head to toe, all your medications, everything about you.
So we just call you and you'll take care of it. That's
and we'll get you set you up. Need. One phone call.
That's what you need. What's PTAC?
I'm glad you asked. So that is not an acronym. PTAC is not an acronym, but that it was actually a person or people. So Will and Madonna Patak in 1998, Mr. and Mrs. Patak set up a excellent community outreach benefit through Morton Plant Mies Healthcare Foundation in honor of Madonna's sister who had Alzheimer's. But in Madonna was a 20-year veteran for the American Red Cross, but she was also a volunteer for the American Red Cross. She also started a lot of volunteer programs in Pinellas County. They used to live in Chicago, didn't have any children. They moved to Pinellas County and embraced the community, and so they tried to do whatever they could just to help the community. Mr. Patak was a philanthropist, and so he had had an invention that's used all over the world still today. It's a like a fastener. He had a fastening company, a fastener that's used in stadiums all across the world.
Yeah, one little thing.
Just one little thing. Yeah. And so he had a lot of scholarships for young men. And when they came to this community, Madonna started a lot of volunteer programs, and she was a volunteer as well. And then she was diagnosed with mixed dementia, components of Alzheimer's disease and vascular dementia. And then in 2007, Mr. Patak donated some money to the Morton Plant Mies Hospital Foundation in honor of her, but really specifically for caregivers, because yes, he wanted to donate money to help with Alzheimer's research, but he was a caregiver himself in his 90s that knew the stress that caregivers had. So he said, I want to make sure there's money to help with caregiver rest, respite or transportation, for whatever they need. I want to make sure the caregivers in this community, are their needs are met.
Wow.
So I get to oversee that budget. We don't really advertise that. It's not like a bucket of money. But if people have a need in the community, if it's for respite, if it's for transportation, some insurances may not cover the specific details of our assessment. So we use money to help to cover that. There's no charge to them.
Wonderful.
So we do. If they need adult daycare, any kind of respite, or maybe the loved one wants to go to a wedding, at a state, yeah, maybe an assisted living, we'll pay for the care for the assisted living.
And so, once again, I want to repeat for people, because it's lots of times we have new listeners, what respite care is. Because I didn't find out what respite care was until I was in my bereavement group.
It's like a rescue.
Yeah.
Rescue for the caregiver.
It is. It's just taking some time for yourself. And your loved one is going to be really happy if you take that time for yourself, because when you come back, you're going to be better. You'll be happier. You'll be less stressed. I went to New York a couple of weeks ago. My brother has Parkinson's, and they're going through a tough time. And so I was there. I did laundry and stuff like that. And my sister-in-law said to me when I left, when she was walking me to the cab, "I feel like you saved my life this week." You know, you need somebody to give you that break. It's tough. So please think about that and know that there are resources. And we're so blessed in this whole Tampa Bay area here.
Most definitely.
Because we have so many people that want to work together, that find answers. Mm-hmm. You know, Becky Moultrie, I referred somebody to her the other day, and she said, "I really couldn't help her, but Sherry Gruden from Pace could."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we do. So I always say to anybody who's listening to this show, if you have a question, if you have an issue or whatever it is, email me or call me. If I don't know the answer, one of our friends do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really big deal.
It is a big deal.
So tell us about your support groups, which I'm going to put on my website also.
So we have caregiver support groups. We meet on Mondays. The first and the third Mondays, we meet from 1 to 2:30, and that's a Zoom support group. And then the second and the fourth Monday mornings is a call-in support group. Also do a nighttime call-in, which is the first and the third Thursday nights of each month from 6 to 7.
Okay.
So a support group just for caregivers, any type of caregiver for Alzheimer's disease and related dementias.
And do you foresee live support groups coming back?
I hope so.
My first live presentation is May 5th at Freedom Square. It's the first live presentation, so I'm hoping something's going
to come
back. I
have one May the 7th, which is a sheriff summit in Hernando.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I need to get out there. I need to see those people. You know, it was funny, when COVID first started, I did a presentation. It was in a huge auditorium, so they only had like 14 people, let's say. And then it was Zoom, and I had to like stand in this box and talk or whatever. And halfway through the presentation, I'm like, "Could you do me a favor? If you're smiling underneath those masks, could you give me a thumb up? Because they look like, ooh."
Right, you just see the eyes.
Yeah, I need to see the people again. I need to be with them. It's really important. And I think it's important for caregivers. Caregivers just need that hug. They just need to know that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a good part about the Zoom, too, because new caregivers have come on, and they don't even want anybody to see their face, but they could do it that way if they
want.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really important. So all of your support groups I'm going to put on my website, because I'm down to only doing 2 a month now. And all of Debbie Sell Savage's, because she does, like, I don't know, 4
God
a week
bless
or
you.
Something like that. But get yourself into a support group, because it's really great. And right now it's time to hear from our wonderful sponsors. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today, or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're off. You know what that means. It's time to get your pen and paper because Lynn's got good stuff to tell you.
Okay, only thing you have to write down is lindaburhans.com. Any of the following, you just message Linda and she'll send you the link.
Yeah, too many links to mention.
Exactly. Oh, you had your journaling workshop this week. Was it good?
This week it was excellent.
Good.
It was excellent.
So Linda has a journaling workshop for caregivers or anybody, and it's the second Monday of each month. The next one will be in May.
Yep.
And then on May 5th at 11 a.m. in Freedom Square, A Daughter's Journey with Love, Laughter, and Lessons Learned, Linda will be the presenter.
And you know, that's a busy day because I'll be at Freedom Square at 11 o'clock, and then at 2 o'clock, Arden Courts will be presenting Melissa Bernstein, who's going to be on the show either next week or the week after, Cooking for Engagement and Socialization. She does a lot of cooking for dementia and Alzheimer's and different. She's just brilliant. So it'll be a busy day, so you could do that. And also, this week, Tuesday, April 20th, Arden Courts will be presenting Frontal Temporal Degeneration, FTD, the most common dementia under the age of 60. Mm-hmm. So they have two fabulous speakers, and that will be on April 20th at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So if you're interested in any of that, just email me, and we'll get that information to you. Do you have any events, either?
There's a sheriff summit, but it's really just for law enforcement. That's
what
gonna
are you talking about?
Okay, that'll be May the 7th. From 10 to about 3 at the Hernando Sheriff's Office.
So if anybody wants information about that, just email me and I'll get you the information. All right, so what were we talking about on break here? What do we want to talk about next?
So we do have a research study that, since we were talking about imaging earlier, so insurance really want you to do the easier, the low cost,
of course,
brain scans, like a CAT scan, which is really not as thorough, but an MRI and PET scan. PET scan could be $3,000 to $4,000. So we are working on a research study that's called ARIAS, which is the Atlas of Retinal Image for Alzheimer's study. And the reason we did this, only one research study has been done like this, maybe in 2012. But you have to have a very expensive piece of equipment. And we used to have a neuro-ophthalmologist in our office that had this $150,000 piece of equipment. So basically, we're trying to create a retinal screening tool, imaging screening tool, that is going to be like a $40 cost.
Wow.
To evaluate the occipital lobe, which is behind the eyes, to see if you can come up, see if people, if we can pick up early onset Alzheimer's disease. Wow. If you have a high risk factor of having Alzheimer's disease, yeah, then it would pick that up. The reason being because the plaques and tangles in the occipital lobe mimic the plaques and tangles in the brain.
Yeah.
So wow, this is a 3-year study, and we are partnering with University of Rhode Island Ryan Institute for Neuroscience in conjunction with Butler Hospital, Rhode Island. And so this is only for people between age of 55 and 80 that have no memory concerns, or a parent or sibling who has a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or MCI, mild cognitive impairment, or if you yourself have MCI or have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. It is a 3-year study. It is free, but it's a very comprehensive evaluation. We are doing brain scans. We're also doing genetic testing as well to look at the alleles, if you have alleles 3 and 4. And you will not find out about if you have those genes for Alzheimer's disease, but we're looking at all of that. And you also have cognitive testing.
And we need people for these studies, please.
Yes.
Please, because we will not be able to find better options if we don't have the people in the studies.
And we're usually too old for the study. Now it's right in our ballpark.
A lot of adult children want to know, what kind of research can I participate in just for me?
Right.
Well, this is one that you can do if your loved one, if your mom or dad has Alzheimer's
disease.
That's wonderful. That's when people really start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
They get concerned.
It's scary.
Yeah. And plus,
it
I
is.
Don't know if I'd want to know.
Yeah.
Now, when we were talking about my neighbor, he went and was tested, and he knew because he had it in the family. He wanted to know.
Right.
But it was, you know, slow progression, but he knew. I don't think I'd want to know.
We do. Some people do come to us because they have changes. They're concerned about the memory loss. But also, we see people that just want to come in for a baseline. Maybe their grandmother or their dad had Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
They want to come in before they have any changes and just have a baseline at their age now. So at least they have that in their medical record. So if, over time, if they see changes,
yeah,
they can say, this is how I was. So if they start seeing changes 20 years from now, they're going to have those records to say, hey, this will be the change you can.
But I don't know if I was, say I was 30, I'd want to know that I had the gene or whatever it is.
Right.
I don't know.
You have to have a lot of counseling for genetic testing. Because if you find that out, then you have to live with that.
You'll live your life totally differently, I guess.
Yeah.
So what we say is, if you think you might have a risk factor, then do one thing at least a day to change. What could you do to change? Can you exercise? Can you monitor your diet?
Well, I could do a lot of things.
So don't set yourself up for failure having unrealistic expectations, but change one thing.
But and it's so important with so much stuff. You know, I was speaking to somebody this morning when we were cleaning the trail, and one of their relatives died from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he said, yes, but they were morbidly obese. They had all these other things. You know, the weight is such a problem for any diseases. And we need to pay attention to that. We need to get out and we need to move. We need to move our bodies. We need to, you know, my brother with the Parkinson's, he's sitting in the chair atrophying. No, we need to move. And he said to me the other day, he said, I'm hurting. You know, he tells me every day, he's hurting. He was hardly hurting when I was there because we got out and we did stuff. He was more tired then because he didn't have nothing to complain about hurting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important to keep moving.
Whatever's good for the heart's going to be good for the brain.
Yeah.
Really?
I say if you rest, you rust, and you need to move to lube.
Right.
You know, it's very important. Yeah. So what are some of the early signs people should look for?
The early signs, memory loss that disrupts your daily life.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Difficulty completing a familiar task. Maybe you're having some challenges in planning or solving problems. Putting a recipe together. Oh, my mother, she used to put this together and put that together, but maybe they've forgotten parts of the recipe, something that they knew for a long time. Confusion with time or place. Trouble understanding visual images and spatial relationships. New problems with word and speaking or writing, like word finding difficulty, misplacing things or losing the ability to retrace your steps.
That's it, losing the ability to retrace your steps. So the rest of you that can do that, don't worry, you're okay.
Decreased or poor judgment. withdrawal from work or social activities. They're just kind of withdrawing for everything because they feel safe. They're uncomfortable in conversations because they're afraid they're going to say the wrong thing.
Right. Or they're not going to understand.
Right. Yeah. Changes in your mood and personality.
Yeah.
So those are the top 10 things from the Alzheimer's Association.
And it's so important to be cognitive of that and really pay attention. You know, my mother had dementia, and I just thought she was being goofy. I really did, because we were focused. My mother had stage 4 colon cancer, so that's what we were focusing on, really. But I know she had dementia now. I didn't know she
now
had.
Now you did.
Yeah, I really did. Right.
She couldn't read anymore.
No, she couldn't read anymore. And I can remember, you know the story with the saying somebody was coming in her place. My mother lived in Freedom Square in Independence. She keeps telling me that some girl's coming in there messing with her papers next to her phone, you know, those sacred papers. And I knew nobody was going in there, but I didn't know what to do. So, like, after the third day, I just went upstairs to her apartment, and then I stayed there for a little while, and then I said, I'll be right back, Mom. And I went down the hall, and I just stood there for a little while, and I came back, and I said, you know, I just met that witch out in the hallway, and I told her, if you ever mess with my mother's papers again, you're going to have to answer to me. And she said, thank you, Linda, and it was all done, but I didn't know that was dementia. I just wanted my mother not to be agitated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so delusional thinking.
Yeah.
Well, I think the best was when you'd go to a restaurant, she'd always say, I'll have what you're having.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how they cope through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I ever say that, you know that I'm gone, because I always want what I want.
You know? She was just like, you're my assistant now. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever, but yeah. But see, my mom had a good, really good personality, and she was funny, and she was fun, so that's a whole different thing, too. I would take her networking with me, and you know when you stand up to give your 60-second commercial, she'd say, hi, my name is Joe, I'm Linda's mother, I just moved here from New York, and I just want to find a man with a lot of money that just wants to be my friend. And everybody would be like, get online behind me. Well, thanks so much for being with us here today, and where can our people find you?
So, my direct number, if you'd like that, is Celisa Bonner, C-E-L-I-S-A, Bonner, B as in boy, O-N-N-E-R, 727-298-6384.
And the clinic is where?
The clinic is on the Morton Plant Clearwater Hospital campus. We're actually right across the new entrance of the hospital. So we're 430 Morton Plant Street.
Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks
we really
for having
appreciate
me.
You. And thanks so much to all the caregivers. Tune in next week. You know, we always have a fabulous show. Come to a support group if you can. It'll be really good for you. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
And nothing, oh, nothing's gone.